أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الصبر رأس الإيمان. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. الله سبحانه وتعالى has said in his holy Quran, talking about the akhlaq and morality of Rasulullah, that innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Certainly you are on the exalted character. The morals and akhlaq of our beloved Prophet is the only sifat in the holy Quran which Allah has mentioned with the adjective of azim. And we find when somebody asked Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that can you count the sifat-e-akhlaqi, the moral attributes of Rasulullah, and Amir al-Mu'mineen replied, no. He said, why? And Imam Ali said, can you count the ni'mats of this dunya? He said, no. Imam Ali said to him, why? Why couldn't you count the ni'mats of this dunya? He said, because they are uncountable. Imam Ali said that Allah, talking about this dunya, Allah has said, mata'u dunya qaleel. Whereas talking about the akhlaq of Rasulullah, Allah has said, innaka la'ala khuluqin azeem. So when you are unable to count something which is qaleel, how can I count something which is azeem? Talking about the akhlaq of Rasulullah, Allah says, innaka la'ala khuluqin azeem. When Allah says something to be azeem, it is really azeem and great. And Prophet has said that ana adibullah wa aliyun adibi. I am the one who has been trained, who has been taught the adab, the adab, the akhlaq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ana adibullah wa aliyun adibi. And Ali is the one who is trained by me. So that's is the sequence. And because Imam Ali alayhi salam was the closest person to Rasulullah and the most beloved person to Rasulullah, and also the Prophet has commanded us that تخلقوا بأخلاق الله, that means you become متخلق, you adopt the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your soul. All the sifat of Allah, you know, we should try as much as we can to adopt those sifat, you know, rahmat of Allah and sahawat and karam and, you know, shaja'at and ra'fat and hub and all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try as much as we can. And when we reach the level where we do what He wants us to do and not do what He doesn't want us to perform, then we will be at a stage, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that you wish nothing except what the Lord of Universe, Allah, wishes. And when our wish and His wish is synchronized, it's in sync and harmonious on the same status, that means we wish nothing but the wish of Allah, where Allah has wished at the same place, at the same mawrid, same amount, regarding same people. If that's the situation, then we, our a'za and jawarih become the majari of the fuyuz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means Allah's favor and ni'mat will flow through our parts of the body and our limbs. So then we would become, then we will become one of the awliya and one of the beloved people of God. And this is the peak of Iman. And one of those sifat which makes us azeem in the eyes of Allah is sabr, which I want to talk tonight, where the Holy Prophet has said, As-sabru ra'sul iman. Sabr is the head of Iman and faith. Just imagine for a moment that Iman is a body, just like a human being. What is the importance of the head? Look at the example given by the Prophet. As-sabru, you know, ra'sul iman. As-sabru min al-iman ka-ra'si min al-jasad. The relationship of sabr towards the entire iman and faith is the same nisbat like we have of the head towards the entire body. So we find that if the head is not there, there is no use of the body. Body is helpless, dead, useless, is going to end. It's bound to be, to shatter and collapse and become, you know, it would be gone. So if sabr is not available in a mu'min person's morality and akhlaq, basically his iman is bound to shatter because he has no head. And Quran has given us beautiful examples. You know, we need examples in our life to look and at them closely, study them closely, and then it becomes easier for us, the humans, to emulate. One of those examples mentioned in the Holy Quran is about Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Inna wajadnahu sabiran. Allah says, we found him sabir. Inna wajadnahu sabiran. Ni'mal abd. He's the best servant of God. Innahu awwab. So Hazrat Ayyub was a person whose sabr became an icon in Islamic history. And Shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, it's there in the tafsir, that Ayyub is shakir person, he performs shukr towards you because you have given him a lot of ni'mat. What if you take away all the ni'mats from him? Is he still going to do the same level of shukr towards you? That, you know, is unknown. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways of testing. Al-bala'u muwakkalun bil-anbiya. How Amir al-Mumin al-Islam says, bala comes on the anbiya first. It's bound to be to reach the anbiya. Thumma al-amthalu, then the person who is most similar to the prophets. Who in the society has most resemblance to anbiya, that person will receive the bala second of all, after the prophets. He is the amthal, he is the most similar person to the prophets in his sifat. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ, the more your resemblance towards the prophets, the higher your level of bala that you would receive in your life. The lesser your resemblance to the prophets, the less amount of bala would you receive. But bala will be there. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. The famous ayat of Holy Quran that we all know. We will certainly test them, you know, بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, with kind of khawf, with some of the khawf and fear, well, jew and hunger, وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and decrease in the money, وَالْأَنْفُسِ, decrease in the life, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and decrease in the fruits, which has been interpreted in tafsir as children. Children are the fruit of one's life. So, people will be tested through their children as well. When our children die, this is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, you're talking about sabr. Allah says, and give basharat and glad tidings and good news to the sabireen, الَّذِينَ, those who, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, whenever the musibat inflicts on them, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, they say, we belong to Allah, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and towards Him we are returning. So they basically always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the bala. That's the sign of a mu'min. The mu'min remembers Allah in the bala and the rakha equally. Rakha, the happy times. Bala, when we are in the time of test. It's not a big deal if we remember Allah only in the bala, because that's what everybody does. Now, the harder and harsher the bala, the more some people remember. If the bala becomes really severe, even Fir'aun starts remembering Allah. Isn't that the case? If the bala is that severe, now he's drowning under the wave of the mighty river Nile, the longest, biggest river in the world. Now he's drowning in the Nile. Even such an arrogant person, he used to claim, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your greater Lord. He starts remembering Allah. Amanto, I became a mu'min in the Rabb of Musa and Harun. So that's what exactly what I was saying to you, that in the harsher the bala is, in the bala everybody remembers Allah. You know, even the worst of the kuffar will be bound to turn to God. But that's not the sign of a mu'min, that he turns to Allah only in the bala. The sign of a mu'min, he turns to Allah in the rakha and bala both. And equally, وَذْكُرْنِي in the rakha, أَذْكُرُكُمْ in the bala. That's the mazmoon of riwayah. If you remember me in the happy times, Allah says in Hadith al-Qudsi, I will remember you in the bala. In the bala we are all upset. So we all need the bala to be removed, don't we? What's the solution? How can we remove the bala in the time of bala? The solution to remove the bala away from us is to remember Allah always in the happy times. That's the way. This is the solution which we have been told already. So Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, his money was gone, his wealth was gone, his farms, plantations, crops, all destroyed. Overnightly, when he woke up, he found it's gone. Look at the test. Al-bala'u muwakkalun bil-anbiya. Bala comes to the anbiya. Al-bala'u lil-mu'mini imtihan, walil-kafir azab, walil-anbiya'i daraja. Bala is an imtihan for a mu'min, and for a kafir, it's an azab and wrath and punishment of Allah. Walil-anbiya'i daraja. When bala arrives on the anbiya, it's a means of elevation of their darajat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how their darajat and levels are increased before God. Everybody's is subjected to bala. So, and then after, you know, the wealth, his wealth was gone, his plantation was gone, then his children died. All of his sons died. One after the other, everybody was dead. And finally, he had some illness in his body. We disagree with those of the Muslims who believe that he had those kinds of illnesses like jazam and bars and leprosy, which is impossible to be found in any prophet or any wasi of the prophet and or imam. Any bala which is repellent, which is repulsive, which rejects the people, which people hate and detest, people generally don't like, that can never ever be found in any prophet or an imam. That's part of our belief system. So this is a false statement narrated by some of the Muslims who say the Prophet Ayyub had those kinds of bala. He had some, you know, that white liquid kind of thing coming from his pimples and all those things that he had on the body, and you know, those kinds of things, they are all lies. A prophet or a wasi of the prophet or an imam can never be inflicted by by any kind of illness which is repellent towards the regular masses. Otherwise his nubuwwat and his entire concept of being a nabi to attract the people for guidance towards Allah would be shattered. Why would the people, when people are don't like to see that bala, why would they come to him? So we totally disagree with those of the Muslims who believe this kind of belief about the prophets. Yes, he had certain illnesses, but not those. A prophet can never have an illness that is repellent to the people. So he had certain illnesses, and everybody left him, the people, the community, everybody left him. They stopped coming because, you know, people have different reasons for coming to people. Now that his wealth is gone, now that he has lost all he had, and some people even used to come and see him and say, do the shamatat and malamat, which was, you know, talking bad against somebody. You know, shamatat means zakhme zaban, yani saying things which hurts your feelings, which is even worse than any illness. Whatever your illness may be, you can still tolerate it. But if you have people talking bad against you and hurt your feelings, this is even worse. So he faced the shimatat of the enemies as well, which was really painful for him. And only his faithful wife was there who used to come and take care of him. And once Shaitan came and tried to deceive his wife and said that, well, your Lord didn't do anything for your husband. If he was such a beloved person in the eyes of your Lord, why does Allah put all these bala on him? Isn't he the most beloved person here? I'm donating this sheep, goes fund to you. Take it to your husband Ayyub and say to him, slaughter the husband, but just don't take the name of Allah. What has Allah done for your husband? Look, you know, he's now living in a jungle. No one is taking care of him. If Allah used to love him, he would have taken care of his prophet. Isn't that the case? At least, okay, slaughter this lamb without taking the name of Allah once, and you see what happens. That's how shaitan has different means how it deceives. He's a very clever person and a very knowledgeable as well. He's not a silly or jahil or ignorant person. So she came and met with her husband, and Hazrat Ayyub said straight away, "You have been deceived by shaitan. A prophet can never eat from a meat on which, you know, the name of Allah is not taken." So basically, this story of Hazrat Ayyub and the way he used to did sabr and shukr towards Allah, there was no difference in the way he used to do the sabr and shukr during the happy times and during the times of bala. There wasn't any difference. And how he succeeded in this test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get elevated to the higher levels before God. And finally he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the cure, and Allah asked him to strike his feet on the ground, and he struck his feet on the ground and a fountain of water came out miraculously. And he did the ghusl and that fountain, and every illness and every problem that was there was gone because of that miraculous fountain that Allah brought out for Hazrat Ayyub. Salawat. Also we have another example in the Holy Quran. We are talking about sabr and patience. Another example is that of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, who was another icon for sabr in our glorious Islamic history. And when his sons mocked him, tried to mock him and deceive him, and what they did after throwing Hazrat Yusuf, their brother, into the well, what they did, they have to justify something, to say something, bring some lame excuse, justification, you know, that's the way the nafs is, you know, that's the way the nafs always tries to justify our evil deeds. So they came and they brought with the bidamin kadhib, how Quran says, they brought with the shirt of Hazrat Yusuf and put it in front of their father Hazrat Yaqub and said, "Well, you know, we tried our best to save him. What can we do now that the wolf came and it ate up Yusuf? And this is the shirt that we have brought for you." Hazrat Yaqub, when he looked at the shirt, he said, "What kind of wolf it was? There are no signs of ripping of the shirt. It's not ripped apart from anywhere. It's not worn from anywhere. The shirt is perfect. It's, you know, no sign of any claws or any kind of, you know, things where you can find that there's some nails or claws of a wolf striking on that shirt." See, he understood that they are basically lying to them. And he said, "Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum." It's actually the tasweel. That's what our fuqaha, our scholars of akhlaq say. This is the stage, the process, how the shaitan, how the nafs, shaitanu kulli insani nafsuhu. Isn't that the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? Everybody's shaitan is his own nafs. Shaitanu kulli insani nafsuhu. Everybody's shaitan is his own nafs. So basically, the process of doing a sin is as follows. First of all, we find either shaitan, the iblis, or one of his followers, or our own nafs. One of the two, they provoke an evil idea in our mind. And then we start following from there. We move forward, we continue with that evil idea. Now how can we do, how can we commit a sin? Allah has provided an aql, which is a Rasul al-Batini, the hidden messenger, and Allah has provided النفس اللوامة, the nafs which performs malamat, which condemns us over the sins, wujdan, zameer, nafs اللوامة, in Farsi we say wujdan. So we have these things, Allah has provided, made these arrangements, aql from inside, the supervisor, hidden messenger, how it is called, and then the nafs اللوامة from inside, which is the pure human instinct that always, and the fitrat, which is in sync, fitrat as-salima, which is in sync with tawheed and its obedience. And then we have the messengers and the deputies of the prophets and the imams and awliya and ulama and books and, nowadays we have internet and everything else which can guide us towards the right path and teachings of the prophets and imams. So given all those outer and inner evidences, how can I commit a sin? Unless I first justify it, and the justification is done by the process which is called taswil. Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum. Actually your nafs, your anfus have done, taswil, that means it, what the nafs does, it brings, it beautifies, it decorates the evil and presents it in the form of nice looking good idea and opinion. Unless this process is done, the tasweel is done, a person whose qalb is alive and not dead, he is not shaqiyul qalb. Anyone who is not shaqiyul qalb requires the process of tasweel before committing a sin. That means tazeen, to beautify, to decorate, to justify. Well, what if you are, not paying khums, for example? There are so many people out there in the society, they don't care. I mean, let us make some more money, we will see later on, like after 5 years, after 10 years, we will settle, when I will pay off my house, my mortgage, later on I would see. I would do tawbah later on in the later ages of my life, when we get old, then we would see what happens. There are plenty of justifications which our nafs can bring and does bring to justify the evil before we can dare to commit it. That's the arrangement of Allah. So that's the decoration, how it decorates the evil opinion and idea and justifies and then makes us negatively courageous to commit it. And then we move forward and do it. So the nafs has been categorized by ulama of akhlaq in several categories. It's not that we have several kinds of souls, we have only one soul. But the same soul, when we look at it from the haythiyat, we have different haythiyat, from different perspectives, when you look from this zaviya, that the same nafs, from this angle, that it deceives us towards, towards the sin, the same nafs is called al-ammara, nafsul ammara. The same nafs which condemns us from a sin over a sin, man sarrathu hasanatun wa sa'athu sayyi'atun fa huwa mu'min. Whosoever is such that a sin makes him feel bad and a good deed makes him feel good, then he is a mu'min. If you do good deed, you feel good at qalb, at your soul. Whenever you do wrong, you feel bad at your qalb. I did wrong today, I must stop. If you have that kind of soul, you are a mu'min. So this is what is the kind of nafs which is condemning us and stopping us? That's what we call a nafsul lawama, malamat kunande, that performs malamat of the nafs, condemns us from the wrong. So nafsul ammara, from this haysiyat, that it constantly, never stops throughout the last moment of our life, never ceases to deceive. That's why the ammara is the siga of mubalagha in Arabic. Amir means the person who orders and commands. Then you take the word amir of ismul fa'il to the tense of exaggeration in mubalagha in Arabic, on the tense of fa'al. So we say amir, we make it ammar. Ammar means someone who commands a lot. Always commands. And do, then he put the small ta, ta al-marbuta at the end, ammaratun. When we stop, we say ammara. So this small ta is the ta of ziyadat, you know, increase of mubalagha. So it multiplies the mubalagha several times. So nafsul ammara means the nafs which commands us towards the evil very much, very, 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 very much. That's the meaning of the word al-ammara, which cannot be translated in one word in any language, because it has so much deeper meaning. Even till the last moment of our life, it never ceases, keeps on commanding us towards doing wrong. And shaitan is there even till the final moments. So then from this haysiyat that it commands towards the evil, we call it ammara, the same nafs, the same soul. From the aspect that it condemns us from doing wrong and stops us, that's called nafsul lawwama. From the aspect that Allah has done ilham, so we call it mulhama. From the aspect that this same nafs reaches the level of itminan, we call it mutmainna. يَا أَيَّتَهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ. And the same nafs becomes raziya at certain levels of the sar and suluk towards Allah, that a person is pleased with every decision that Allah makes about my life. I am happy. I have no complaint, zero complaint before Allah. Happy at heart. This is raziya. And the same nafs, when it reaches a level that it becomes marziya, that means Allah is pleased with that nafs. So we have all these different categories defined by our scholars about the nafs, and also the same which we were talking, that's where the discussion is started, taswil. So musawwila, the same nafs, we also call it musawwila, because one of the jobs that it does, it performs taswil, that means tazyeen, decorating the sin before we can do the sin. It decorates and presents the sin and sinful idea in a very beautiful, justifiable way to fool our akal and cover our akal and our fitrat and nature, which is by default inclined towards worshipping one God and its obedience. It fools the akal and covers up the akal with its evil decorated justification. From this perspective, we call the same nafs to be musawwila. Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum. This is what your nafs has done, the tasweel. That's how you justified the evil of throwing your brother, you know, doing all that evil, and now you come up and say to the Prophet of God, I mean, just imagine, I mean, people are lying in front of the Prophet. Can you imagine? And fasabrun jameen. So Hazrat Ayyub, Hazrat Yaqub did the sabrun jameen. Prophet says in his hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, sabrun jameel is defined, Prophet says, is the sabr which has no shikayat, no shakwa, no complaint before Allah. Hich gilay dar an baray pish khodawan insan hich gilay na kunad bitabi na dashte bashad. Albatte in juz-e hadith nis taram khodam izafe mikunam. Prophet said that sabrun jameel, sabr jameel is a sabr which has no complaint in it. You don't complain towards Allah. And also our scholars say that you don't have jaza. Jaza means bitabi, betabi. Wawaila, you start complaining and shouting and screaming, what happened to me? Why this all happens to me? Why me? Why does Allah, why do you do it to me? I am doing so many good things in my life. Oh Allah, why am I subjected to this problem? This is called betabi, jaza, which is contrary to the entire concept of bala and imtihan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means we fail to understand the concept of bala, which is the sunnah of Allah, which is that He is not going to change His sunnah. Let's not forget, لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. Bala is one of the sunnahs of Allah. ولنبلونهم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأرض. It's a sunnah. And there's not going to be any change in his universal, eternal formulas that Allah himself has made, announced in the Holy Quran. We need to adapt ourselves according to them to succeed. Allah is not going to give in to our, ignorance-filled demands. So, Sabrun Jameel is the one, the sabr that has no complaint. It's hard. It's hard to find your son lost, a son like Hazrat Yusuf, masoom son, not an ordinary person. It's hard to tolerate. Prophet has said, "Auladuna akbaduna," that our children are just like, paraye jigare ma, just like amare kaleje ke tukre. Auladuna akbaduna. It's a really big test for a person to lose his son. In the hadith, we find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, "Akhbarani Jibrail an Allah azza wa jal." Jibrail told me on behalf of Allah, "Iza wajjahtu ila abdin min abidi musibatan fi badanihi aw malihi aw wuldihi, ثم استقبل ذلك بصبر جميل استحييت أن أنصب له ميزانا أو أنشر له ديوانا." Prophet says that Allah said, Jibreel informed me on behalf of Allah, that Allah said that whenever I inflict a musibat on one of my servants, musibat on his maal, his wealth, musibat on his badan, his body, or musibat on his children, ثُمَّ إِسْتَقْبَلَ ذَلِكَ بِصَبْرٍ جَمِيلٍ, and then he embraces, he welcomes, he performs the istiqbal of bala. Look at what a prophet is trying to teach us. Our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they used to perform istiqbal of bala. They used to welcome the bala. And they, awliyaullah feel bad if they do not have bala for a few days. It never passes by in their life that they don't have bala. And so many days have passed by, months have passed by, they don't have no bala. Never happens. Whenever the bala does not come, we must understand we have done something really wrong. That Allah wants to leave us in this dunya. Okay, get the dunya. Fine, take it. That dunya for what you want. Some people, if we don't get our dunya, we are like this, we start complaining, wa waila musibat. What if we don't get the dunya? As long as our iman is protected, nothing, we didn't miss anything. Nothing is gone. Dunya is bound to go. Even if it's gone, so what? Imam Sajjad al-Islam says, "If لو كانت الدنيا لقمة واحدة," and that's the Mahmood al-Rawayah, if the whole dunya is one luqma, and I put it into a mu'min, and he says, "Alhamdulillah." This call of a mu'min is superior than dunya, all that. In other words, dunya. And he says that I still did not fulfill the haqq of a mu'min. If I give the whole dunya to the mu'min, still his haqq is not fulfilled. So if the same dunya is not given to us, is there a way that a mu'min should complain? As long as the iman is there. So we find that I was telling you the hadith that when Allah said, Prophet says that Allah said that when I inflict musibat on the wealth or body or children of one of my abd, one of my servants, and summa istaqbala ذَلِكَ بِصَبْرٍ jameed, and he performs the istiqbal, he welcomes the bala with sabrin jameel. And I already explained to you this meaning of sabr jameel as explained by Rasulullah in his hadith, without any complaint, zero objection, zero complaint. That's the meaning of Sabr Jameel. Then Allah says, what would I do towards such a mu'min who has zero complaint towards my bala? Istahyaytu minhu yawm al-qiyamah. I feel haya from this mu'min on the Day of Judgment. An ansiba lahu mizanan, that I install mizan for him. Aw anshura lahu diwanan, or I, you know, publish the diwan for him. I feel embarrassed before him. You know, we have the 50 mawaqif of Qiyamah, 50 stops and stations in the Day of Judgment, starting from the mouth, death, which is the station number one of Qiyamah. Is Amat ibn Adam, Qamat Qiyamatuhu, how Imam Sadiq Islam says, when a person passes away, his Qiyamah has started. So, that's why Qabr we call it Qiyamatun Sughra, the lesser Qiyamah. And Day of Judgment, when we will be resurrected, we call it Qiyamatun Kubra, that's the greater Qiyamah. So it's all Qiyamah. Mouth is the stop number one. First mawqif among the 50 stops and mawaqif of Qiyamah. So one of those mawaqif is Mizan. And at every stop, at every mawqif, there are some different questions we will be asked. Mizan is one of the very important mawaqif of Qiyamah, where all the a'mal that we did throughout our life will be weighed. You know, it will be weighed on the scale. And the scale is the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, anta mizan al-a'mal, or the Prophet said to Imam Ali. So, if we had sabrin jameel on the bala of Allah, we will be exempt from the mawqif of mizan on the Day of Judgment. Like we will be exempt from the nashr or publication of our diwan. That's the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's very important our urafa say that's so important. What is your first statement after bala? When the bala arrived on you, what was your first remark? Not the second or third or fourth or tenth. What was your first remark after bala? Because this shows the spontaneous reaction that you showed against the bala from Allah. This showed the level of your ma'rifat, that you are always ready. Did you do the istiqbal of bala or not? First remark is very important. The first remark of ours should be, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah. And so the reason why we complain is because we fail to understand the benefit of bala. مَا مِن بَلِيَّةٍ إِلَّا وَلِلَّهِ فِيهَا نِعْمَةٌ تُحِيطُ بِهَا. There is no bala, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, except that in that bala there is a ni'mat of God which is muhit, which engulfs that bala. The ni'mat is engulfing the bala. That means ni'mat is bigger than the bala. So every bala has a bigger ni'mat in it, which is bigger than the bala. The reason why we have complaints before Allah, because we fail to understand the entire concept why Allah was testing us. So if dunya was gone or harmed or decreased or taken away, my children die, my, you know, wealth is gone, my body has illnesses, if I start complaining, that means I fail to understand the whole concept of the sunnah, this sunnah of Allah, and I like dunya. I have attachment towards dunya. That's why I have complained. So, when Hazrat Luqman, Salamullahi Alayh, Luqman al-Hakim, Allah gave him the hikmat, when Hazrat Luqman, once his master, his mawla, his master, was there and he had kharbuza. What do you call it in English? Cantaloupe. Thank you. I don't know. Yeah, kharbuza. Kharbuza. He was eating that. And his master was there. And he did not share with his master. And he started thinking, well, my slave, he's eating the whole of it, he didn't even give any piece of that to me. and eating it fast, quickly. The final piece was left, and what his master did, he picked up that and started eating, and he found it was so salty. And he said, "Oh, it's so salty. Why were you eating so fast?" He said, "So that you don't have to eat that thing. That's why I was trying to finish it." He said, "It's salty." He said, "So what? Throughout my life, you have been providing me nice and sweet food. What if I eat a salty food, what's wrong with that?" Look at the approach that some people who have hikmat from Allah, their approach towards the things of this dunya. Actually, it was not salty, it was bitter. You know, it was bitter. And we have hadith that a mu'min, if he feels the pain for one sa'at of his life, one sa'at, he goes through the pain. This erases the sins of 1 year of his life. One sa'at of pain erases the sins of 1 year of his life. Everything, there is a benefit involved. Just like I told you the hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, which in the light of the hadith it is proven that the ni'mat, in every bala, there is a ni'mat which is bigger than that bala. And, you know, one of my teachers was telling me that one of the teachers said that there was a big scholar, an arif, he went to the haram of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad, and there was another mu'min with that scholar, that arif, very great personality. And when they both entered into the haram of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, of course they did the ziyarat and everything, and this great alim and arif person, he's standing close to the dharih and doing dua and everything, and this mu'min is standing next to him. This alim, this arif, he said 3 times, "Nimi kham, nimi kham, nimi kham. I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it." When they came out of the haram of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, this mu'min asked this scholar, "What were you saying when you saying 3 times, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want?" He said, "Come in the final moments of my life, when I am going to die, in the final moments of my life, come at that time and I will let you know what I was saying." After a while, this scholar became ill and he was about to die and pass away. So this mu'min went to see him in the final moments. And he said that, "Well, I want to ask you that question. What were you saying to Imam Ridha alayhi salam in there in the close to the dharih, that I don't want, I don't want, I don't want?" He said, "Okay, I will tell you now. Now that I am going to die, I will tell you. When I went to the dharih of Imam, I saw Imam Ridha alayhi salam sitting on the top of his dharih. I said my salam to the Imam." So, because the Urafa, they don't have any hijab, they see the Imams. So, they also hear the response of salam and everything. So, I saw the Imam, I recited the ziyarat in front of him, everything. You know, I recited the ziyarat and then I started doing my du'as in front of the Imam. And I said, you know, that, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I have a problem in my hand. Somewhere from my hand, blood comes out constantly. It's long time now. It's so much painful for me in the time of wudu, in the time of ghusl. You know, you have to make it tahir, clean and everything, Islamically, it's hard. For so long time. So can you please give shifa to me from this illness?" Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied to me, "Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed certain maqamat and levels for you in the paradise because of this illness. But now that you came to my haram and you are my guest, I am ready to give shifa to you." He said, then I said to him, "No, I don't need that. I said 3 times. every bala that we face in our life, every illness that we have, every problem that we face which is related to dunya, not our iman, problems related to our iman, we are not talking about that. That should be removed ASAP. Every problem and bala related to dunya has a reward if we perform sabr. Just like Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha did.
When the caravan reached the palace of Ibn Ziyad rahmatullah alayh, and he said that, how do you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to you and your brother? Look at the arrogance of Ibn Ziyad. What's your perception, what's your take on that? That how Allah has done towards you and your brother? Ibn Ziyad is saying. And look at her response and her ma'rifat and irfan. She says, Ma ra'aytu, wallahi ma ra'aytu illa jameelan. I swear to Allah, I did not see it except jameel, except this mazhar of the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Imam Hussain and Islam and his ashab and his al and ahl al-bayt did their job. They became shaheed. They performed their duty towards Allah. That's nothing but the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did their job. They are successful. They become sa'id, sa'adat men. They reach their success. That's the peak of our human life, that we sacrifice everything for the sake of God. What's wrong about it?
And we find that Imam alayhi salam, somebody asked from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that how much pain did the shuhada of Karbala felt? We are talking about the sabr. And Imam said that, just like you press your one finger with another two fingers of yours, how much pain do you feel? That's narrated by Allama Majlisi. That's the amount of pain they felt. And of course, the reason why, we can understand the reason why it's like this, because those who are drowned in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ishq, their entire concentration is on Allah. They have already departed their bodies because they are not attached. They already have departed from this dunya because their souls were never attached even in the life. Just like Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he had the arrow striking his feet in one of the battles in the time of Rasulullah, and Ashab tried to take the arrow out, he was feeling a lot of pain. Then Rasulullah himself said, when Ali is praying, take the arrow out at that time. And the Ashab did the same. They came, and when Imam Ali started his prayers, when the time he started prayers, they came and took the arrow out, and he didn't feel, because his whole concentration was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although it's always like this, but specifically in the time of prayers. As-salah al-musalli yunaji rabbahu. And look at the situation of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where he is saying to Allah, somebody who has everything sacrificed for the sake of Allah, nothing left with him, his children, his belongings, everything, his friends, his whole life, everything given for the sake of God. He did not spare nothing. And our fuqaha say that Imam Hussain did not miss a single mustahab, even on the day of Ashura. He did not even miss one mustahab of Islam, of the Sharia. That means he performed every mustahab of the Sharia, even on the day of Ashura, in such a big turmoil. I know if we have a little bit of headache, I'm talking about myself, we stop performing so many things in our life, which we may do in the regular times. That's how we are. But look at Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Ravam bi qawa'ika, Ravam bi qawa'ihi wa tasleeman li amrih. We can say the same sentence as many times as we wish,
But if we are in the similar situation how Imam Hussein was, then it would give the value to that sentence. You know, when all my children had passed away, you know, when my children have passed away, when everything of mine is gone, everything of mine is gone, and you are bleeding from head to toe. And the hadith of, you know, Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar al-Shustari has said that Imam Hussein had 1,110 injuries of sword on his body. That's what Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar al-Shustari, rahmatullah alayh, said. 1,110, and in the hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, all the injuries of Imam Hussein was in the front of his body, not from his back. He never turned his back towards the enemy, never ran away, he was shuja. Every injury Imam Hussein had was in the front. And Sayyid ibn Taus, rahmatullah alayh, said that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam used to, you know, breed, blood used to come out from his injuries. When he used to breed, the blood used to, he used to bleed from all his injuries. Look at the situation of this Imam. So we can say the same sentence, رُضَمْ بِقَضَائِهِ وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِهِ. It's easy. But if we are in the same situation and then we say it, that's the big deal. Look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam carrying his Ali Asghar in his hands. You know, when he raised his voice of istighatha and هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا, is there a helper who can come and help us? هَلْ مِنْ مُغِيثٍ يُغِيثُنَا, is there someone who can rescue us? Imam Hussein doesn't need no help in the real sense. He is providing guidance to the people to come to his side and reach the paradise. Even in the final moments, he is doing his best ways of guidance towards the people. If the people are serious for getting guided, he doesn't need their help. He's already Mansoor and victor. So Imam Hussein, هَلْ مِنْ مُغِيثٍ مُغِيثُنَا, is there a person who can come and rescue us? هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَرُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, is there someone who can come and defend the haram of Rasulullah? There was no response coming from the enemies. Look at the Itmam al-Hujjah, fulfilling the evidence. Nothing, no stone left unturned. Every effort done and accomplished. And no answer arrived. And he found some, the voice of buka, the voice of crying coming from the khiyam, from the tent. He came back. And he asked, he was told that since you raised your voice of istighatha, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا, Aliin Asghar has dropped himself from the mahad, from the cradle. And now he doesn't come into the lap of anybody. Imam Hussein came inside the khiyam, and there's no word mentioned in the riwayat that Imam may have said. He just stretched his hands towards Ali Asghar, and Ali Asghar came into his hands. As if Ali Asghar was waiting for his father to come. Baba, maybe he was trying to say, maybe that, Baba, I cannot say a word to you, but this is my way of presenting my sacrifice for your istighatha. I cannot tolerate you doing istighatha and you are not being helped. I'm ready to help you. And Imam is now carrying Ali Asghar. Hazrat Sakina is watching the situation. And Imam is carrying, and Rubab, Hazrat Rubab was standing at the door of the khaymah. Imam started to comfort Rubab and by saying that those people who went away, who went before Ali Asghar, they were able to fight. But your son is so small, he's not even able to fight. Maybe I can fetch some water for him. That's how Imam Hussein comforted his wife, Hazrat Rubab, and he took Ali Asghar and came towards the Ashqiya, towards the enemies, and said, if in your opinion Hussein has a fault, this baby has no fault. He has no sin. At least give some water to him. His mother cannot breastfeed him. There was no response coming. Imam Hussein laid down Ali Asghar on the soil of Karbala, and said, my son, maybe he said to the enemies, if you think that Hussein is going to drink water, because of his son, okay, I'm laying down my son on the soil of Karbala. You come and drink water yourself. But there was no voice, no response coming. And then Imam Hussein raised Ali Asghar back into his lap and said, Awafikum Muslim? Isn't there a Muslim person among you? You know how much stress Islam has laid over providing water to a thirsty person, even to an animal. How much stress we find in our ahadith, in our books, in the teachings. Amafikum Muslim? Isn't there any Muslim person among you? And there was still no reply. And the final word is so much, it shakes your qalb, your heart, when you read those words of Imam Hussein. Finally he said, isn't there anybody who has children among you? Sahibul Awlad, don't you have any, the father and mother can feel what happens when your son is thirsty, how much you care about your children. Isn't anybody among you who is a father of some children? Don't you feel that much? But there was still no reply. But the reply came from Hurmala. Amr ibn Sa'd said to Hurmala, Iqta' kalam al-Husayn. You stop the kalam of Hussein. And he threw that arrow, three-pointed arrow, towards the neck of Ali Asghar. فَانْقَلَبَ السَّبِيُّ عَلَىٰ يَدِ الْإِمَامِ. And the child died in the hands of his father, the Imam. And Imam took the blood. Imam took the blood of Ali Asghar into his hands. Now we have several riwayat, several narrations from different scholars. Some say that Imam took the blood and threw it towards the sky, and no single drop came back to the Imam. The whole blood is there with Rasulullah, and some of the scholars have said, Imam took the blood and put it on his own face. That I am going to meet Rasulullah with the blood of Ali Asghar on my face. Imam rubbed the whole blood over his own face. And some of the riwayat say that Imam took the blood and put it over the body of Ali Asghar himself. And now Imam is carrying Ali Asghar. He put his abba over this young boy, young baby, and he is carrying towards the khiyam, towards the camp. And here he is reading the verse of Holy Quran. We were talking about the sabr. Look at that. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Rugham bi qadaihi wa tasliman li amrih. Walking seven steps forward and coming back seven steps. Taking, how would Imam take a baby, 6-month-year-old baby, towards his mother? Isn't that hard? It's very hard. And Imam is carrying Ali Asghar, and now that he reached close to the khiyam, Hazrat Sakina, she knew that Imam came back, her father came back, and she knew that Imam was taking Ali Asghar, and she heard the sentence of the Imam. She came and said to her father, Baba, I'm also your daughter. You provided water to for Ali Asghar. Sakina is also your daughter. Imam didn't say a word and narrated. It's there Imam removed the daman, there this abba, and said to Rubab, take your son.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان وجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة and 3 times سورة الإخلاص for مرحوم أسلم مهدي عابدين.